This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Mark Edge, remotely from Florida.
And let's just go right to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Skeeter from California. Skeeter, what's on your mind?
Hello, my fellow U.S. federal citizens. It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist. Hey, Jay, isn't it nice to be in a first-world democracy where we can shop at Whole Foods and complain about cancer-causing pesticides that increase crop production?
This is not a first-world democracy. It's a Republican form of government. It's what it's supposed to be anyways. What makes you think it's a democracy?
I think any definition of first-world democracy, even just first-world, we're at the top of that.
Jay doesn't shop at Whole Foods, so... There's your first.
That's all garbage there anyway. It's all greenwash, corporate nonsense.
Yeah, I'm just saying you guys are in a first world situation complaining about pesticides that increase crop production by at least double. And you're in a privileged position. If you are on your own deserted island,
we don't need
free,
people to double their crop.
First off,
by double, we just don't need that.
The commercial farming.
You're so wealthy, Bonnie. You got.
All right, so let other people talk, please.
So this government subsidized farming method that you're talking about is actually extremely, extremely expensive. It is one of the greatest reasons we have such a healthcare epidemic. The fact that all the seed oils are subsidized. They're putting contaminated biosolids on tons of the farm ground. And this is all mostly primarily happening with big subsidized farms. Like this radioactive stuff that it comes from Simplot that the guy was talking about is all, I am sure, due to a government grant, a government subsidy to, you know, disperse this stuff and make it happen. Just like with the food, with the... the waste solids, or the solid waste, whatever they're called, that are coming from the water treatment plants, that is basically a distilled cocktail of, you know, all of the nasty synthetic chemicals that don't break down and never go away, that are put into your city treatment centers from the battery making factory. And, you know, the place, like one of the places in Michigan was that would make chrome car parts. There was like a chrome bumpers and chrome knobs and stuff, whatever, chrome things. For your car.
In Detroit, back when they were like a car place?
Somewhere. There's still a place doing this chroming.
Oh.
And they discharge all their water into the waste treatment thing, and they have these carbon filters that are supposed to be, you know, dealing with it, but, you know, they don't get changed and stuff and this, that, you know, thing. And they just get fined by the EPA, but the fines are cheaper than actually dealing with the waste, and you just send it and, you know, put it on farmland.
Does that have anything to do with why Flint, Michigan is so bad?
Flint, Michigan has to do with lead in the water, I believe. And
lead pipes, right?
From the lead pipes or something, yeah. And the thing is when you start taking corporate farmland and having big, massive corporate factory farms, it just, everything is extremely expensive. You have to subsidize the heck out of it. That's the only reason that we have, like, 9 slaughterhouses that are pretty much doing most of the butchering in the country, but they're doing, like, you know, 10,000 cows a day or something crazy, or 20,000 hogs a day. The numbers are They're hard to imagine to where, like, 75 years ago in this country, there was something like 10,000 slaughterhouses, and they or even 100,000. There's slaughterhouses in every single neighborhood. I'm sure within a mile of here, there was a couple of slaughterhouses 75 years ago in Keene. I know the little town I grew up in, Palmer, Massachusetts, had four villages, and in like 1962 or something, there was like something like 35 registered slaughterhouses within the town of Palmer. Well, and what it was quite literally like somebody's two-car garage off the side of their house was the butcher operation. And, you know, and if you wanted to have your pig done by a Portuguese guy or an Italian guy or a Polish guy, you just picked whatever, you know, neighborhood you wanted to bring your meat to get processed, and you got it done. And usually you went to a little livestock auction and bought it, or you had a farmer raise it if you lived in town, or you raised it yourself. So, but this whole thing is just, you know,
we could definitely live without this.
We don't need corporate farming.
Corporations, yeah.
I just want to put one thing in about the Portuguese and Italian and whatever farmers is that every ethnicity had its own little way of doing things. And so if you wanted it like mom would make it, you'd get it like it was made in the old country. So the Portuguese guys like suckling pigs, and the Italian guys like their smoked stuff, and, you know, the Spanish are known for their hog legs and all that. So every place, but everybody wants something different.
Nice. Yeah, I just heard a story about this guy in Michigan, actually, who, well, I guess he lives in Chicago, but he'll, like, travel to go meet with you and make meatballs out of your animals in the Polish way that his, like, ancestors would, because he's trying to preserve it. He's trying to preserve the way that his ancestors did meat. So
I wonder if I could get him to come to my homeschool co-op and we butcher our pigs and we'll do it the Polish way. That's what I'd really like to do. I'd really like to. There's actually a guy who's Jamaican that I've talked to a little bit, and he has told me that if I had some goats to butcher, that he would love to come and donate his time. And he has and this guy's in Connecticut. He would drive like 3 hours to come here and do this.
Wow.
But he's this old Jamaican dude, and he does butchers the goat, and he does makes it a lot of fun for the kids, and he lets the kids, like, help out and do it, and he's been doing this for years. The guy's, like, in his 70s now, so I'm going to see if we can do. But he and I watched him do it, like, 15 years ago with a homeschool co-op group in Summers, Connecticut.
Does this include, like, watching the goat die?
The whole nine yards, yep.
Oh, wow.
And actually, when this guy kills a goat, like, the goat just basically just blinks his eye and bleeds out. Doesn't scream, does it? When he
that's so nice.
He does it, and he says, like, a prayer. Aww. And he says the prayer, and then he explains the prayer as he's, like, saying it to the kids, and, you know, why it's important, and, you know, this is how you value the life of the animal.
Yeah.
But he did it in a really, like, that goat did not feel any pain. It didn't even know what was going on. It just, you know, bled out. There was no screaming or nothing.
Whoa.
Yeah, the guys that are good at it can do that. Skeeter?
Oh, I already hung up on Skeeter. He's
dropped him.
Being annoying.
Good. I have a question.
Okay.
So, once again has come up this question for me, and this is a broader topic. I don't want this brushed across. This is really important to me. I don't get it. I don't understand. I want to know how much to tip somebody on DoorDash. Since, you know, COVID-19, essentially, this DoorDash and Uber Eats they've gotten huge, and people were getting their food delivered during this time frame, and now they've just, you know, continued doing that. I have never in my life ordered DoorDash. I've never ordered Uber Eats. I've never ordered even those frozen meals you can get, like Factor and stuff like that, that you can get and then put in your and heat up or anything like that.
Yeah.
I buy my food in the form of meat and produce at the grocery store, and I make meals with it. And I probably make too much, and I probably eat too much. But, you know, all my stuff is from there. And I get some from the CSA and things like that, too. So, this tipping culture kind of exists just sort of peripherally. I don't understand. You know, you go and you get somebody to make pour a cup of coffee for you, and you're supposed to give them how much? Well, the person who got the mocha latte, frappe, whatever, just gave them $3. And it's like, wow,
what's going on there? But, you know, in my case, they just poured it. Well, there was always the bartenders that would open a Michelob Light for me and hand it across. And then how much do you give them? Well, I had a friend who said, you always give them a dollar. That way you always get served first. I'm like, okay. And servers, when I was a kid, it was 15% on the untaxed total. Well, now what is it? Because people are saying like 20% on the tax total, maybe even more than that. Somebody asked on Twitter today, how much do you give somebody? You know, did I tip them too much with $10? And I looked it up online, and Reddit has all kinds of opinions as to what this is going. And Bonnie, I know you were a DoorDasher, and I want you to explain, what do you get paid besides the tip?
It's hard for me to remember, first of all. I only did Postmates and Uber Eats, and honestly, it's just like hard for me to remember anything before the FBI like banged down my door and tried to make me go outside naked and like specific things like that. Seriously, I don't remember like the dollars I got paid, but I know that I would not be doing it without the tips. It wasn't like, oh, that's worth it. But the thing is, neither are restaurant people, but I still think they deserve less tips than people who drive across the city and drive to your house and bring you your food just because you didn't want to leave the house. Like, that is doing a lot more than filling up your coffee cup. That's doing a lot more than going up to the hot plate and grabbing it and bringing it to your table and then filling up your water. That is doing a lot more than just a waitress in a restaurant. And, like, people tip them more. It makes no sense. Well, at least in San Antonio, people are just cheap or fat or something there.
Well, I don't know. So for one, it doesn't matter what somebody else is making when they do a thing. What matters is me tipping the person that I'm tipping. I want to tip the right amount. And American tipping culture is completely insane.
Well, why don't you think about this? Sorry. Okay. As far as if you're asking me how much I think somebody should get paid for doing an Uber Eats thing. If you didn't want to leave your house...
Well, no. What I actually asked you was, how much did you get paid to do Uber Eats so that I could figure that in? Because
like
I know that the server gets $2.30 an hour or something like that. So they make all of their money based on tips.
Yeah. Almost like that. It's almost that bad. Like, I would do one thing. It would always take me about, like, 45 minutes for a fast one or an hour for a long one. Because you drive from wherever you are to a restaurant...
Yep.
Wait at the restaurant, get the food. Sometimes you actually have to order it, then you wait even longer, and that can make it over an hour. You get the food, you drive to their house, you find the stupid number on their door, you go and you bring it to them, and I'm like saying, like a big one would be like $10. Like, it'd be like, ooh, this one's going to pay me $10. And
so they tell you what the tip is before you go?
No, that is the amount that you get paid. But like normal ones are like $4 to $5.
So do they bid on it?
I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't know
why.
How am
it's
I supposed to know? Like, it will just pop up on my phone and be like, "Do you want to take this? Do you want to go drive really far for like $10? Maybe I do that if I don't mind where it's going to make me end up. Or do you want to do like one that might be quicker and only get $4, but also risk only getting $4 and then like just not tipping you or it just taking longer than you think anyway? And it's always going to be like, I don't know if it's less than the stupid waitress. Comparison. I just don't think that's the same job. Like, how?
Oh, I agree. I think you make a very strong point that waitresses don't do as much for the money as a Uber Eats driver, and a waitress is working four tables at once, so has a larger opportunity to earn. Whereas an Uber, it sounds like the DoorDash people are only doing one thing at a time. It sounds like. Now, so you can call in and at 603-283-6160 and tell us your experience in ordering DoorDash. But it sounds like they get charged different amounts for different deliveries, and maybe they can even raise the amounts so that, you know, the people pay attention to them. But some of that money goes to the company, and then some of that money goes to the driver. And then anything that you get tipped afterwards just goes to the driver, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a... tip.
So,
go ahead.
My mom does Uber Eats or Grubhub or one of them. Actually, I know another guy locally that does the same thing. And they both tell me that if there was no tippage involved, it definitely would not be worth doing.
Right.
Now, my mom, she does it 7 days a week for a couple hours a day during prime time. And she has told me that she has actually rejected deliveries because they're basically people that like basically do a very little tip or you know, no tip. There are some people who won't even tip. And definitely if you are someone who, for example, is a good tipper, she will always say yes if, you know, she recognizes it's, you know, the same delivery. And I don't know how that mechanism works. I've never, you know, I don't know if you, I assume that you see the address of where it's going, and then some of them you can recognize, and there's probably a thing in the app if you've been there before, it lets you know or something.
I haven't done it in forever, so things might have changed, but back when I was doing it, it would tell you where to go for the restaurant before you accepted it, but it wouldn't tell you where the customer was until you picked up the food, and therefore you could be like, wow, this is taking me forever away,
yeah, so definitely
away from all the restaurants. It's adding a whole other hour of not making money.
So definitely the app that she uses, because a lot of times I'll talk to her when she'll be out doing these things. She'll say, oh, I'm not doing that one. That guy's cheap. I'm not doing that one. That one's way too far away.
Nice. I would love that. If that's one of the ones I did and it's changed, that's awesome.
And it's not Uber Eats because she hasn't done that one in a while. But she does go over to Southern California in sort of a wealthy area, like once a month. My little brother lives down there, and she goes over there. And she actually does quite well doing the Uber Eats in Southern or whatever. I don't know which one she's doing in Southern California. And it's kind of a neighborhood where they tip really well. But here's a problem with all of that takeout food. Cornell University, I think in 2021, did a study on all of the blood samples that came in for microplastics. And the microplastic, 72% of these blood samples that came through Cornell University had alarming rates of microplastics. Now, I don't know what alarming means, but they had plastic in the people's blood, 72% of it. And they said it was plastics, microplastics, that were from the food containers that the hot delivery stuff is delivered in. And then
styrofoam,
there's these cardboard ones that are lined in some kind of plastic on the inside so they don't get all soggy and fall apart. But, like, you know, and all that food, like, that is the bottom of the barrel food. You got to be the most toxic food that you could eat is whatever Uber Eats is bringing you or any of those, because it's all coming from garbage, fast food. And as far as I'm concerned, all restaurant food is basically no good because you can't verify it.
Yeah, and that's how I feel a lot recently, too. I haven't been even eating at Social Sundays, which is an event we'll do here in Keene. Like, libertarians will meet up at a restaurant. It's not a bad restaurant or anything like that. It's just, I don't even order food anymore. I just order a drink and sit with my friends.
We ate, my wife and I went out to breakfast this morning, and the place that we went to, it's called Tucker's. It's here in Concord, New Hampshire. It's a pretty, it's probably the best, highest quality breakfast place you can go to. And so I say to the waitress, I'm like, hey, I want to get this particular thing, but I don't want any sauces or I don't want any of whatever sauce it has on it because it probably has seed oils in it. She goes, I'll check if it has seed oils. So she comes back with my meal with no sauce on it. And she goes, this has mayonnaise in it also. So I told them not to put the mayonnaise on it. And I forget whatever the topping is that they put on it. But she goes, it had palm oil. So instead of coming back here and asking you about it, I just told them to take it all off. Would you like any of the stuff on the side? Nope, that's fine. I don't need, like I get a salad. I don't get any dressing on it or anything. Because it's got, you know, it's all seed oils.
I don't even trust the balsamic vinegar at places. It's like, that's just supposed to be vinegar and
olive oil,
but I don't trust that. It's probably canola oil.
You can't trust the olive oil anywhere.
Yeah, and whenever I buy olive oil, I make sure it has this like symbol on it that says something about California. I don't remember what the group is, but they make sure that it's not canola oil. What were you gonna say, Mark?
I was just thinking about a friend of mine who every November goes to Italy. And near Naples, I've got the town wrong, near Florence, excuse me. And he works for 6 weeks at an olive farm, and he comes back with a suitcase full of these delicious olive oil containers. And I mean, it's just amazing. They taste so different than what you get in the store. I would think you'd be able to sort of track down any given, like, I don't know, if you find a specialty store that sells specialty olive oils, you can probably call the farm and ask them some questions. There are people out there that are making good products. It But Jay's right. It's hard to find them.
They're still busting people in Vermont at farm stands for putting high fructose corn syrup in their maple syrup. I mean, I've read articles about this like a year and a half ago.
This is what everybody who buys that Green Mountain Swill or that maple leaf crap gets. You buy White Mountain maple syrup and you'll get the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just go buy maple syrup from a guy who's making maple syrup. Problem is, you can't do that in Florida.
No, that's what I'm saying. Well, when people come down, they bring me maple syrup.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
I haven't had a pancake. I don't eat a lot of pancakes, admittedly. But I haven't had a pancake without New Hampshire maple syrup in 10 years.
Well, I can tell you, next time we go to Mexico, we are bringing maple syrup with us because everybody was like, you're from New Hampshire. Mm. You should have brought maple syrup.
Whenever I travel, I always keep either one of those tiny little containers. I don't know what the size is. Maybe it's 2 ounces, 3 ounces of maple syrup. I keep, you know, a little stash of those, maybe 5, 6 of those. Or I have found a local honey producer here in Sarasota, Florida, who takes a bunch of developmentally disabled kids and, you know, they go out and they get the honey and they sell it and all that stuff. So I pay too much for it, but, you know, it's the good stuff.
Hmm. Oh, and speaking of tips, another thing I love to do, and I did this morning, is the waitress comes to the table and she's like, sir, are you all set? Would you like me to bring you change? And I says, nope, I don't need any change. You are all set. But I just wanted to let you know that I do not tip. Hmm. And then the smile just kind of fades off their face as I say that. And then I say, but what I do is I give a gift because a tip is taxable and this gift is not taxable. So please put this money in your pocket. Do not feed the parasite. Taxation is theft.
I hope they listen to that because I wonder how many are just like, and then they just add it in, you know, go report it. No, hopefully they're all just like under reporting like most restaurant people, I think.
Oh, they are. But it's a little bit of tax advice, which from what I can tell is vetted.
And it is a, you know, like kind of activism, just like getting the attitude out there.
Yep. I do agree that that gifts are not taxable, but that tips are. I think this is reasonably sound advice. I will say, however, that a gift is a gift and a tip is the tip, and what looks like a tip is a tip, right, as far as the government's concerned. So it gives them a little – it's a little libertarian talking point. I think it's a great thing to do. And, you know, nothing wrong with giving a waitress an emotional roller coaster, right?
Tip your server in cash because it is a hate crime to tip your server on their receipt if you pay with a card. So if you pay with a card, at least give them some cash.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. What do you think about the tipping argument? 603-283-6160. Call in and let us know. More coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has initiated a campaign aimed at apprehending illegal immigrants with convictions for serious drug offenses. Thursday, officials disclosed over 200 arrests nationwide of non-citizens who have been convicted of drug trafficking or multiple drug possession offenses. Russia has blocked a United Nations panel of experts from overseeing North Korea's nuclear weapons program. Thursday, Russia vetoed the annual renewal of sanctions monitoring North Korea, while China opted to abstain from that vote. Tuberculosis rates in the United States are experiencing an upward trend. In 2023, they surged by 16%, marking the third consecutive year of increase. This rise comes after almost three decades of steady decline. According to the latest report from the CDC, the number of TB cases nearly reached 10,000, representing an increase of close to 1,300. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can call in with whatever's on your mind, whatever opinion you have. 603-283-6160 is the phone number, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark, coming to you from Florida.
And Mark, did you have anything else you wanted to ask or say about the tax or tip question?
Tips. The more I travel, the less I like American culture when it comes to tipping. I don't want to rip anybody off. I don't want to make anybody work for me for less than they should. But as far as I'm concerned, tipping sucks. That every business should pay its employees what they should be paid. That currently, some servers get more money than they deserve. Just ask the cooks. You know? The guy who is back there making the food, he doesn't get anything for tips. Some restaurants he does, but very few that I've seen. Whereas the person who takes it from the heat lamp to your table and then refills your water glass, that person gets a big old tip. And sometimes they're making $50, $60 an hour, you know, and even more than that. So we just have this weird way of distributing labor, and then everybody's made to feel inadequate surrounding it. Like, you're just not adequate unless you're throwing money away. Because I know the answer when it comes to what should I tip. As much as possible, you cheapskate white bastard. Right? Like, that's the answer. And I don't – like, that's not good enough for me. I just want to know. Now, in the case of DoorDash, I'm asking so that my listeners know, because I've – you know, I have not been convinced by this conversation, not that I've asked to be, that I should begin using DoorDash. And so I probably won't. But, you know, I mean, people ask these questions. I don't know about tips. Every once in a while I go to Starbucks, right? I would prefer to get my coffee from places that I'm sure doesn't have isn't produced, you know, with leaded gas or anything like that. But that's becoming less and less common as time goes by. I'm relatively confident that I'm doing okay by having a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I know I'm going to pay more than I would normally, but, you know, whatever. And then I don't know what to tip, but, you know, I throw a dollar in there, whatever. You know, it's a $5 cup of coffee, and I throw a dollar in, I paid six, or maybe it was four, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. You guys don't go out much either, so you're not dealing with the customer side of all of this. I was just thinking we might be able to give the listeners some information about how to best handle it, because it seems like our culture is moving towards more tips, not fewer. And I'm wondering about when's the day that I have to tip the state trooper for giving me a ticket.
Oh, that's a way better deal, because in Mexico, that's all you do, and you're done. You don't have to go to court. You don't have to do anything. You just give these guys some pesos, and they go on their way. And that would be way better here, but be way less of a control mechanism for all the slaves.
Well, one thing I do know is that different places in America even tip better and worse than others, and I don't really know why it is. I haven't figured that out. For some reason, New England...
Give me an example.
New England... Uber Eats, they'll be like, you know what, $20 for something that did not even really warrant $20 tip. And people in San Antonio, like, half of them just don't tip. Half of them tip like a dollar, and then the rest, like, it's like, I was like, okay, I made enough to make it worth it finally at the end of the day in San Antonio, like, every day. And then when I came up here, I was just like doing a door knocking job, but on the weekends, or, you know, whatever day I wasn't working, I would go into like Portland, Maine when I was in Maine, or I'd go in Manchester when I was in New Hampshire and do Uber Eats for just like a couple hours and be like, I made $200. That's pretty cool. All my other coworkers were jealous of me.
One of my friends, he still does one of those things, and he loves doing it during snowstorms. He's got a pretty nice all-wheel drive car with studded snow tires. And so he gets paid quite well, I guess. I don't know if the rates are better or they're tipped better, but he, like, when it's snowing like crazy, he just goes and does it. And generally when it's snowing, it's like there's one place in, you know, that's, you know, are few places that are doing delivery, because there's very few delivery drivers. So, like, a lot of places will just close, and he's able to just do very well, from what I understand, during snowstorms.
That's awesome. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, if you were able to, you know, consolidate the restaurants you went to, then I think you'd be a lot better off, because you could carry two or three bags of food to different locations.
Oh, sometimes they do, like, put two orders together. If you're, like, already on the way to a restaurant, they'll sometimes give you another one. Like, actually give it to you instead of, like, asking you. And that was weird. But, and, I mean, like, that might have changed since.
Yeah, he did tell me that he was able to stack multiple orders, especially during snowstorms. But it's very hard to come up, get that opportunity when it's not a snowstorm, because there's a lot of guys, there's very few, there's a lot of people who just will not drive in the snow.
Yeah. And I had a friend that also did Uber Eats at the same time as me, and we'd always be on the phone talking while doing it, like, separately, and he was always like, oh, I'm doing so good right now because of the snowstorm, and I would be like, yeah, I stopped because or not snowstorm because this is San Antonio, rainstorm, and I'd be like, yeah, I stop because it's scary. I don't want to be out there driving in the crazy rain and stuff. But during COVID, when there was like no one on the roads, I was doing so well. Gas costed nothing, and everybody was Uber Eatsing and Postmatesing, and there was no one on the road, so I could get places really fast. That was awesome for like at least.
What's
like,
a Postmate?
It's the same thing, except actually sometimes they'll send you to a store. Like, I've picked up, like, batteries and stuff for people instead of just trash food. So, is that all you want to
know? I can understand why people want to do it, but, you know, it's like taking, you know, all the advice that the boomers and the Gen Xers give, like, make your own coffee, don't go to Starbucks. DoorDash is that times 10.
Hmm.
You know, if you decide to go out to eat... versus, I mean, like DoorDash costs more than going out to eat because you don't have to go out. And then you have this, the food given to you that's prepared, but you paid an enormous sum for it compared to, say, the grocery store where you can, I don't know about you, Jay, but surely you've paid for a steak when you go out, right?
Yeah. Once? I have actually bought a couple of steaks. I just usually get a salad when I go out. But yeah, I can't eat. I don't like eating steak or chicken at restaurants after doing my own. But yes, I've paid for steak.
But in the past, I'm just talking about your, you know, you've been alive for almost 40 years. You know, you got some notion. I have personally never had a steak at a restaurant that is as good as, say, half of the steaks that I've made at home. Have I had some stinkers? Sure. You know, I mean, I didn't season it right. I didn't get it quite to the temperature I wanted to or anything like that. But, you know, 50-50, I'm getting it better than a steak that I prepared out. Yeah, sometimes I've had some amazing steaks out, but they're not worth the incredible cost difference. I paid $200 for a steak at certain steak restaurants. Last night I went out for it was Jack's birthday, so his grandparents wanted to take him out, and there was this T-bone. It looked really marbled, and I'm like, I got to have that. They were showing him in the fridge and everything, and I'm like, I got to have that. That T-bone was $79.
Whoa!
It was supposedly 24 ounces at the start, and
where was this again? Sorry,
some home. It's someplace in Sarasota, Florida.
Oh.
It's called Alpine Steakhouse.
Oh, okay.
Family owned and argued over for 50 years. And but they, you know, I mean, it was a good steak. They prepared it as well as they could. But I mean, you know, compared to buying a steak at the grocery store and making it home, I would still take the experience of making it at home. And it seems like a lot of people... this DoorDash thing's gotten very popular. A lot of people have glommed onto the idea, I just don't make food anymore. I don't know how.
Hmm.
And it's not that hard.
The thing about steak is, like, I've never asked Jay Noon if he sells, like, steak cuts. Maybe I should. And I am not going to buy one from the grocery store because all that meat freaks me out. But every once in a while, even though it's the same, like, meat, I'll get one from Longhorns, and it's always good to me. I just get, like, the Flo's Filet. They cook with butter there.
And I do sell steaks.
Okay, good. I will buy some from you sometime.
Yeah, I'm not saying that any of the steaks that I've gotten are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that I can make a steak as well at home for a fifth of the price, easily. And that's what, you know, like, you gotta wonder if you're spending... a fifth of the price, you're spending five times as much to have something delivered to you. So you, especially a steak, there's some things that I wouldn't like, deep fried fish and chips. I'm not going to make that at home, but, you know, there's some things you can make at home and it's significantly easier and less costly. And, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to spend a fortune to eat well.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree a lot. Like, a lot of people think that it costs a whole bunch of money to eat healthily. I don't eat that much food. But when Ian lived here, I fed him and he eats a lot of food. Everybody knows that. And it's not like it's, like, crazy expensive. It's way more expensive to go out and eat. I don't understand people that think, like, I can't afford to cook at home, so I go out to eat. Like, you're just wrong.
And the best food for you is the stuff that you can grow in your backyard. And especially if you have kids and you get those kids into the gardening and, you know, don't even let them get into tablets and internet devices. We'll get them into gardening. They'll have fun with it. Like this past summer, every morning my kids were outside, you know, grabbing stuff to make breakfast with, including the eggs. The eggs, the kale, when we had the blackberries coming out, we had awesome blackberries this past summer, but I've learned how to, like, fertilize them with, you know, my, you know, chicken litter, and I prune them, and my kids will prune them with me this year. And so, like, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, or as soon as my son could get outside, he's had to banging at the door, blackberries, and I open up the door, and there he's running out there in his diaper, and he's getting blackberries. And then when it starts getting to the point where he's going to reach inside, he's like taking thorns, you know, in his arm and in his back just to grab blackberries. And I could tell it hurts him a little bit, but he wants those blackberries.
Yeah, because they have thorns, right?
Yeah.
I think that this is great, and obviously I believe you should pay more for better foods for you. You know, I'm for that. What I wanted to address is the idea that prepared food is less costly than store-bought food. And the best case in point I can give is, like, 2008, during the financial downturn and all that. You know, if you don't have the equipment like a stove or a hot plate or things like that, it can make it difficult to make your own food. Stopping at McDonald's and hitting that dollar menu for a McDouble, I don't know if they still serve
these sandwiches.
It's like
$3 now, yeah. Yeah, they do, but they're like three or $4 or something.
Right. You know, the times are better, and, you know, McDonald's knows they can get more for it, and they do. But back then, you could buy two McDoubles for $2. And it was really hard to make a meal that would have as much as far as macronutrients, and macronutrients are fat, protein, and carbohydrates, as that would have. So I can understand why people would make what I would consider to be the lesser nutritional choice in those circumstances. But there are circumstances, I guess, or at least there were circumstances, I can't speak to it now, where it made sense to eat out rather than doing that. I had a roommate who, she really had a difficult time making ends meet, and, you know, this is what she did to eat.
Well, we do have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, this is James from Miami, and how you doing, Mark? It's nice to hear you again, you know? But thank you. The thing I was calling about is this, because I heard you guys talking about food and all of this, and it turns out that yesterday night I was watching a rerun of the show, the InfoWars War Room with Owen Schroeder, and he was talking about how in Florida, DeSantis, he did this thing where he made it illegal or something having to do with lab grown meat, which looks really nasty anyway. So he was talking about it, and that was something I wanted to bring up. If you guys knew anything about it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, DeSantis has been on a roll on this sort of thing, outlawing, you know, and getting the legislature on his side to outlaw certain things. I am of the opinion that if you want to eat lab-grown meat, you should be able to. However, I have suspicions about it. I think this is sort of the difference between conservatives and libertarians is that while I will not prevent you from trying lab-grown meat, I've had a Wonder Burger or whatever whatever it was called, the burgers made with you know, no meat. Beyond Burger, that thing. I've had one, and it tasted like real meat. It's been a while since I've had one, but I tried it.
Yeah, I agree. That's the libertarian way of doing things, right? It's better to inform people than to just make something illegal without telling people what's going on, you know?
The problem is, with all of this food that's making us sick, is it's highly, highly government subsidized. It's pushed. So what's being, so what's essentially happening is the people who are choosing to feed their children very inexpensive calories are actually reducing the IQ of their children. And then they do that to their children, and they do that to their children. So this has been happening for generations now of your basically inner city welfare recipients. And it's not even just inner city welfare recipients, it's rural welfare recipients. We have a, you know, a whole welfare Section 8 community in rural parts of New Hampshire where those people are, you know, they're just eating the cheapest food they can come up with, the stuff that their, you know, food stamps are going to buy them, because, you know, they got to buy their wheat, you know, their alcohol, their weed, their, you know, opiates, cigarettes. Whatever, cigarettes, you know, or gamble, you know, all these bunch of vices.
Imagine eating Dollar General food just because you wanted to smoke weed. I can't imagine that.
So, well, there's a lot of people, you know, they got their, you know, priorities.
Yeah.
But the thing is with the fake meat, what I see going on in the future is, so the real meat, even like the worst factory farmed real beef is, you know, way better for you than these, you know, than the seed oils and stuff, than like a lot of like the vegan and a lot of the fake things. And the, because beef is still beef, even though if it's like factory farmed. And I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of the food subsidies come away from beef, because beef is one of the most nutritionously dense things that we can eat. It is probably, you can live good off just beef. It has everything that we need for life. There are a lot of people who actually do diets where they'll only eat hamburger to like straighten themselves out. And I don't know what that diet
is. It's hypoallergenic, so if you have a lot of allergies, beef is often prescribed as
a
thing you can
eat. It's just the best meat. It's just
well,
so good.
Cows are very, very clean animals. Mm-hmm. So they're, first off, cows are fussy about what they eat. If you feed cows, if you give them a lot of good hay and they have a lot of good grass, they're only going to eat the best of the best, and they will leave tons of weeds behind and all kinds of stuff. So then you got to run sheep and goats in the pasture to clean the pasture up, or you got to go out there and mow it. And also what cows do is cows have two stomachs, and each stomach has two chambers. So they really digest food quite well, and they move a lot through them. And also cows can sweat. So they're able to eliminate toxins through their sweat. See, that's
do pigs sweat?
No.
Oh,
from what I understand, they do not sweat. And
then why do people say you're sweating like a pig?
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
That just occurred to me.
And then like pigs and chickens are basically scavengers. So if there's like a lot of junk and garbage around, and pigs just eat anything. Like if you leave the garden hose in the pig pen, you'll be like, where's my garden hose? I can't find it. You ever had that happen to you, Mark?
That's the goats too. They'll tear it up. I mean, they'll probably eat pieces of it, but you know, the pigs will. Well, I got a great pig story for you. This is going to make Bonnie flip her lid.
Mm-hmm.
Rats are reality on a pig farm. Anytime you have grain, you're going to have rodents. And, you know, I had a rat that got rather brave and decided he was going to go out and get the first helping of, you know, the stuff that I poured into the trough. And I had my sow was in there. Her name was Abby, after Abigail Adams. They were all named after first ladies and presidents. And it was part of a homeschooling project, and it made it easier to shoot him. So Abby, who was in a glister old spot, she had, on more than one occasion, caught a rat.
Ew.
And this rat got himself into a corner in the trough, because I built it in. I don't know if you got to see it, Jay, but I built it in basically into the side of the barn.
Yep.
And it was just solid as it could be.
This
so
was the trough.
This rat was going
that Fitzy was eating out of when I first moved over there.
Yep. And John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And Abby cornered that rat right in there and grabbed him, and, well, there was no saving him.
That's disgusting. So,
the homeschool.
Now, this is an animal that could barely see.
Right.
Yeah. She would just swallow a rat whole.
Ew.
I remember her. She had she was one of those sows that the ears came really forward and basically covered her eyes. So
yeah, she was a good girl.
So at one of our homeschool co-op events, we had let the meat birds graze. And one of the meat birds got into the chicken pen. And the meat birds, they're like, You walk up to one of the lay-in hens, and they just get right out of your way. Hmm. Meat birds, they'll let you run them over. They don't care. They're just fat and lazy. You know,
they can't chicken, move.
Yeah, they don't move. They don't really fly. But somehow this one got over the fence, and he's just in there, you know, picking through some pig poo and eating the corn and the bits out of it. And the pig just walks right up to it and just grabs it right by the head, crunches the head, and just... And then the three of them just devour, you know, this chicken.
Ew.
Because it's chicken, you know, that's what they do. And the chicken didn't get out of the way. So then I kind of had to set up a little better fence between the chickens and the pigs.
It's really creepy and disgusting. I just never
thought
of pigs.
We didn't buy the pigs. We didn't buy the chickens to feed the pigs.
No.
So, caller, does any of this answer your questions about fake meat?
Yes, it does. Well, I agree with the libertarian way. Hey, but one last thing I want to ask you guys is, like, is there any way that you guys can put the phone number of the show on the screen, please? Because I had to look through here to find it, and it turns out I already had it on my phone, and I forgot, you know? Because I'm looking over here, but no, it's not. I see the website, but not the... Yeah, the freetalklive.com, but not the number, you know, so can you guys help out with that, please?
Yeah, I can definitely talk to you about that and fix it. I'm surprised it's not on there. Thanks so much for the call. You have a good night, too. Thanks, caller.
Another thing I wanted to throw out there
about... James, right?
Yeah.
James, yeah, about...
From Florida.
...food in general. So first off, with the lab-grown meat, are you going to get lab-grown meat from some, you know, major corporation, or are you going to get it from a sweet little old lady making it in her own kitchen?
Neither.
Right? So, you know, so it's really the lab-grown meat and the government subsidized foods don't support small entrepreneur farm operations.
Hmm.
Like, you're not getting the subsidies unless you're, you know, using all the Monsanto, growing practices. And also... Mark remembers when I was 300 pounds. Like, I was about, 2012, I was, 300 pounds.
I know you were bigger.
Yep, I was 300 pounds. Now I'm about 220, 215. But to get my... I struggled to get to, 260 pounds. And then at, 260 pounds, I did a very strict diet. I didn't eat anything that was government subsidized.
Oh, yeah, you said that. It's awesome.
I literally lost, right about 55 pounds in something like 48 days.
Wow, I bet the corn was
huge. What was the government... What did you cut out? I mean, so if somebody's listening and saying, what do you cut out if you're cutting out subsidized food? And I really want to talk to you about it here in just a moment, because I think it's a fascinating idea.
That is.
Somebody could get passionately behind this.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. That number is 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our Healthy Body Weight Loss System simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.